Hi everyone, my name's Johnny Scott and I'd like to welcome you to Phoenix On Demand, or POD as we like to call it. This is the second in our series of podcasts where we'll be looking to help educate and hopefully entertain you on all things IT. So this week's topic is focused on creating the modern workplace, a topic that means many things to many people. But at Phoenix, we don't see the modern workplace as somewhere that we work, but more the technology and processes that enable us to get the work done. Many workers are no longer office-based or have a set desk in an office. Does that mean that they don't contribute as much as someone that sits in an office from 9 to 5? Should we put projects and meetings on hold if people aren't in the office due to commitments? The answer to both of these is obviously no, but putting the solutions in place to enable this shift in working requires a lot of thought and a lot of hard work to ensure things run smoothly and enable the workforce to be as happy and productive as possible. Many companies are coming up with solutions to help organisations reach their modern workplace goals, but Microsoft are leading the way in this space and have a range of solutions to deal with evolving business needs. Distributed teams and an increasingly complex threat environment, which ultimately means you can enable, protect and maintain a responsive modern workplace. So to discuss this in more detail, in the studio today we have special guest Elliot Jenkin, Microsoft's modern workplace specialist. We also have Craig Taylor, Phoenix's cloud solutions director, and David Brown, Phoenix's modern workplace solutions specialist. So hi guys, and thanks for joining us today.
Hi Johnny.
Good morning.
How are you all doing?
Very well. Just good. Recovered from Christmas.
Good. Yeah, happy new year and all that.
Indeed.
Can you all please give our listeners a bit of an introduction to yourselves? So, Craig, should we start with you?
Yeah, sure. So, Craig Taylor, manages the Cloud Solutions team at Phoenix. Privileged position, really, to lead a great team of technical specialists. We spend a lot of time working with public sector customers, real breadth, really, charities, housing associations, local gov, regional NHS police, real mix, really just helping them understand what modern workplace might mean to them, understand their challenges and try to align the right Phoenix solution to their needs.
Cool. Cheers, Craig. Thanks for joining us. David, how about you?
David Brown, modern workplace specialist, working in Craig's team, helping our customers understand the art of the possible and with some of the technologies that are available through Office 365.
Brilliant. And Elliot?
Hi, yes, my name's Elliot Jenkin from Microsoft. I'm also a modern workplace specialist. And in my role, I'm working alongside partners, promoting some of the marketing campaigns we have with them, and dealing with everything M365 and Office 365.
Brilliant. Thanks, guys. So I guess a sensible place to start, given that we have a special guest from Microsoft with us today, would be on Microsoft's opinion of what a modern workplace looks like. Elliot, given that you are a Microsoft employee, what do Microsoft believe is the key to a modern workplace? And is there a sort of magic blueprint that anyone can go and implement?
I think simply the key is it does go straight back to the Microsoft overall mission. It's the whole empower every person, organization, apply it to achieve more. And that really is where the modern workplace is. It's looking to inspire employees, engage those customers, and it's really challenging changing the very nature of the company's products, services, and the business models. Mm-hmm. But regarding the magic blueprint, there is no real one-size-fits-all. The modern workplace is a very adaptive process. You have a big push to focus on first-time workers, which is a huge portion of the workforce, which is not really getting the attention that it in the past, and is mm-hmm. beginning to really be front and center of our thoughts. And on top of that, there is the millennials are beginning to make up a huge portion of the workers, and we're 2019 now, I was about to say 2 years, but in 2020 they're estimated to make up half the workforce. Mm-hmm. And because of that, we can't use the same process that were being used before. Email is a lot of people coming in. Email is now antiquated. They're looking for a more modern way to collaborate and communicate. So we need those different approaches when it comes to the workplace.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Yeah, and I suppose with that comes a big culture shift, and that's something that I know Craig and David, that's partly what you guys go and do on a day-to-day basis. You go in and advise companies on how to approach this. Do you want to just sort of give us a bit on how you do that, and where do people start in that scenario?
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. I think that's probably one of the biggest blockers to adopting new technology is the fact that it is change. And actually, if I look at public sector as a whole, you know, break that down slightly, but take a local council, for example, they probably operate on quite outdated technology in a number of areas. They have lacked investment in certain parts of their infrastructure. Their workforce has changed as well. It's, you know, becoming younger in some cases. And I think what we've seen is organizations, although those workers are used to using modern technology at home and outside of the office, the experience they've had when they've gone to work is quite different. So bridging that gap and helping them understand that it's not that big and scary, actually, it's just you know, something that's going to help them be more flexible, get more done, work better with colleagues, be more secure. It's all stuff which makes a lot of sense. It's just how we make them comfortable with that. I think what helps is if the organization has a clear vision. It's a lot of people are bought into that from the very top. So actually they are, you know, quite clear in their purpose, what it is they want to achieve, and they're communicating that down to all their staff members as well, just to make sure that everyone knows the reasons why, because actually change is scary in some cases. And the way they work, it can be radically different.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. And when we look at public sector specifically, do you see any commonalities across the clients that you engage with? So any sort of recurring questions or concerns that you have to address on an ongoing basis?
Yeah, I think really it's going back to what Craig said about change. In every organisation, the recurring theme will be always that there's a requirement to have a change management practice within your organisation. As IT, we typically dictate what technologies should be given to our users, or it's driven by a specific need rather than understanding the needs of the whole organisation and building a solution that fits kind of everybody. And then building, wrapping around that, having a change management plan means that you're no longer just passing them the tools and the toolkits that's available through some of the products that are there, from not just from Microsoft, from any sort of technology. We're enabling people to actually make a difference in the workplace, to be more productive, and to have a clearer view of what they want to do with the tools that are available, as opposed to just passing that on.
Yeah, and there are common themes there. In the meetings that David and I have quite often, there is some kind of flexible working agenda or a digital transformation project of some description. They've all got different names depending on the organisation, but the overriding theme there is really around making them more productive and helping them work from anywhere. You know, if you look at the working day, it doesn't typically tend to be 9 to 5 anymore. Mm-hmm. So how can people access information they need to do their jobs? In some cases, you know, they're actually rationalizing buildings, so it's, you know, they have to in some cases actually allow people to work from outside the office, from anywhere. The use of smartphones, you know, accessing Office 365, M365 on any device allows people to work. Frontline workers in the housing association, for example, maintenance workers out in the field, being able to do their job on a smartphone or a tablet without having to come back into the office. So all of this is really helping them to be more competitive and make their actual employees feel valued, giving them the best tools to do their job.
And I think with that, though, is quite importantly, is you want to make the technology invisible. You don't want it to feel like a blocker for those employees, so they're actually able to continue to do what they're doing, being creative and being able to be more productive, but without feeling that the technology is in front of them and is something blocking them and making that progress. Mm-hmm. And another thing to build upon what Craig said was the fact that we do have the workforce is now getting very used to using mobile applications, the things they use on a daily basis. And that's where there isn't a one-size-fits-all of a modern workplace. It needs to be adaptive across all devices, all different ways of working, whether it's application-based or whether it's cloud, whether it's a cloud-based service. But you need to be able to use it in different ways that feel
more natural, I guess.
More natural, yeah. Thank you. More natural to the end user, so it doesn't feel like they've gone to work and they're working on a very work specific application. They know how to use it from their daily use anyway.
Yeah, brilliant. Great. So, Craig, question for you. I know there's a lot of demand for these types of services that your team offer, and as a result, you've had to significantly increase the amount of headcount in your team with more specialists. Do you think we're just getting started, or do you think that most organisations are now starting to or are well underway with their modern workplace strategy and are embracing it, or do you think there's lots of work still to do?
No, I think, Johnny, it's a great question. Thankfully for us, there's still a lot of work to be done. Our customers are still asking us to spend a lot of time with them, help them understand this. It's a complex topic. If I look at all of our customers across public sector, I'd say only 25% of those have really deployed something that we would recognise as a true kind of modern workplace solution.
Okay.
Lots of complexity in there, but where many are really focusing now is on the office worker. So Elliot made a great point earlier that they kind of know how to deal with that, what that job role looks like. It's when we start to look at frontline workers in charities, for example. How do you deal with volunteers who come in and out of your network, who are seasonal workers? How do you give them a great experience? In police, how do you deal with sort of highly secure types of data, all the different roles within that? So there's lots of nuances even just within modern workplace within those ones. So I think there's still a huge amount of work to be done in terms of helping those organisations roll out and deploy the right technology. Still a huge amount of work to be done in terms of the change management process. David mentioned it earlier that IT's role is evolving, but for most organisations we will deal with, they haven't really considered change management. Yeah. They haven't really thought about what the impact of the user is going to be. We're seeing that more and more, but I think we could be doing this for years to come, really. And at the same time, technology moves at an incredibly fast rate, yeah, which is really exciting. So what we tend to find is this project is never done. It's actually an evolution. We're constantly adapting, constantly iterating, improving, learning lessons from what's maybe failed before, helping them every step on the way. It's not uncommon for Dave and I to go and see one customer maybe 3 or 4 times before we even start the engagement. Then we'll be working with them for a number of years as a strategic partner. So,
do you see any sector specifically that are more open to change and more likely to be further down that journey, or do you think it's kind of, it varies from organization to organization?
Yeah, it does. It kind of varies, and we do see there's no kind of blueprint in terms of who moves the fastest and kind of what drives that change. What we do see typically, and that's kind of driven a little bit by Microsoft, is certainly in education, we see that they tend to move a lot faster, certainly because the licensing is significantly cheaper than in other organizations, and they're kind of forced to do that. Rather than having students' data being stored on-premise, they want to give students the flexibility to be able to learn and enhance the classroom in a home environment as opposed to being rigid and at a desk. Typically what we see from some of the larger public sector organizations is it is a slower process because it's not necessarily you can just switch on the technologies and expect them to be adopted. It's sure. very much around understanding the needs of the individual and working kind of on a department by department basis to understand how that's going to then impact their work.
So more stakeholders to get the buy-in from to be able to then go and put the strategy forward, I guess.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's more people that now see the value in actually the products that come from the Microsoft 365 suite. It no longer just applies to IT what they see as being the benefit, because we need to really consider every stakeholders, what they're going to be doing with it, how they're going to use it, whether it's finance, how they're going to benefit from things like the Power BI dashboards, being able to visualize that data and then express it in a different way, or whether you have HR and their ability to then do compliance pieces around it. And I think in terms of companies that are moving, there's different factors for everyone, whether it's improved collaboration and communication, and also a big push is always security. And that's something which now the modern workplace offers a much more holistic view. It's no longer a perimeter, barricade the perimeter, make it a secure outer protection, but it's also to make sure that everything internally is protected, whether it's identities, whether it's the documents that are being used, everything is being considered at once.
Great, thanks guys, that's really interesting. So a question to all three of you, if you were to say there's one key thing that organisations need to do in order to enable a more productive workforce with technology, what would it be and why?
So I think that realistically, businesses really need to think about practically about what digital means for them. And by that, what I mean is that it's not just one project. They need to look holistically at how technology can have an impact on the business. And by that, I mean across the entire business. So they need to question key areas where it can bring the most tangible benefits or force positive change, such as core processes, customers, suppliers, that sort of area. But one of the reasons I think a lot of the executives are resistant to change is that many businesses feel they don't really have those necessary skills, resources in-house to keep up with that innovation. And they'd rather wait and see how it plays out for others. But by waiting and seeing how it plays out for others, you're already falling behind the curve. And that's where that digital strategy and what digital means to them is so important.
Yeah, and, that, yeah. and that's clearly yeah. where a partner can come in and assist yeah. someone with that, Craig, isn't it?
No, definitely. I mean, Phoenix spend a lot of time with customers. I think it's a great point, having a digital strategy. One thing I've seen work quite well is just be bold and actually for our customers to go out there and actually just speak to their users mm-hmm. about what it is that they do day to day, what isn't working, what would they like. Actually engaging with the end user really to understand their needs. Mm-hmm. And I think that will definitely help formulate these digital strategies. I think quite often we see, Elliot makes a great point there, you know, I'll have a strategy of sorts, but they're either copying that or they're waiting for someone else to do it first. And then they basically just try and mirror what somebody else has done. Now, actually, there is a lot of commonality, but a lot of these things are also unique and specific to that organization. So I think sooner rather than later, and we're seeing people be, I think, more confident in doing that, actually going out, understanding what users want, understanding what they need, how are they going to help them be more productive, and use that as a way to actually inform what that strategy should look like. And where a partner like Phoenix can help. I mean, David and I spend a lot of time doing customer immersion experience, which is actually showing them what Office 365 can bring. But that's only part of it. It's almost like a forum for users from across the business, mm-hmm. you know, HR, finance, you know, service managers, not just IT, but to have a voice and actually input into the process of what that strategy should look like. What are the priorities? How are they going to break down that project to make sure it's rolled out successfully? Because without that, and actually engaging with the end users, we've seen it far too often. An organization has invested in technology and the adoption rates are horrifically low because actually the users never bought into the process to understand why. And they really kind of struggle to get to grips with it. But I think we're starting to see that change now, and that's why we're seeing many organizations, once they've made the decision to do it, once they've got a business case, and once they've understood what users want, they can move very quickly because the technology is there to turn on.
Cool. Well, thanks, guys. That's really good. So if someone wants to work on their modern workplace and improve the way they're doing things today, what advice would you give them, and what's the next step they need to take?
So there's lots that they can do. I mean, with us, as Craig's obviously mentioned, we offer what's known as a customer immersion experience. That really is a good starting point for us. Certainly in the cloud team, we're able to bring to the customers an understanding of the technology, but making that kind of relevant to the sector. So certainly what we do is customize it in terms of we have a specific one that's delivered to education. We call that the CPD program. That's very much around understanding the needs of the classroom. So looking at some of the tools that are available that will enhance the teacher learning experience. Then for public sector, it's a wider kind of discussion. The program that we have, the customer immersion experience, it's in like a role play format, so customers get to interact with the technology and see how easy it is to use. From a user perspective, we all have smartphones at home. We all have technology, the latest greatest stuff in our home life. When we go to work, it's kind of expected that you're given a set of toolkits, and then by having a program like the customer immersion experience, it means that users can see how simple it is to work through some of those business processes, to apply some of the tools that are available to how they would work on a day-to-day basis. That's one step. I mean, ultimately, from their perspective, that as an organization, they do need that digital strategy, as Elliot and Craig mentioned. Yeah. If they don't have that in place, and from a user perspective, it's going to be quite difficult to drive change.
Thanks, David. That's really insightful and, you know, totally makes sense as a starting point, I guess. So, guys, thank you all for spending time with me today and being part of the pod. That's all we have time for today, but I'm sure we'll hear from you again in the future. And Elliot, a special thank you to you for being our first special guest and giving us Microsoft's view on the world of modern workplace.
Thank you very much.
So that's it for this episode. Thanks for listening, and we hope you found it of use. Please get in touch if you want to discuss any points further. If you want to support what we do, please share and subscribe, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pod.